Whenever there's a dedication of a church, the church wants us to lift up our hearts and our minds and think about the one place where there is an absolutely permanent place of the worship of God, namely heaven. And so building a church, you see, is meant to be an icon of heaven. People come to worship God, to be fed on His word, on His body and blood. And so it's a great thing when a church is dedicated, really. And it's meant to be, as these texts today point out, especially the first one, we're doing this, getting a place to come and worship God and sing His praises and receive His blessings, because we're not in heaven. One day we won't have to build it. It's all built. And we'll be with God forever. And that's the why we have this text, you see. This is sort of to remind us of where we're going. And so a church is the place. Well, if you want, it's like an icon of heaven. You know, it's a place, and people come there, and they worship God and praise God and are instructed and enlightened by Him, actually fed by His life. All of that goes on in heaven, but at a much higher, unlosable level. And that's why this text, you know, you think, well, now, wouldn't you get another? There are other texts that they use sometimes. You remember Jacob's ladder? You see, that's a story about the origin of the shrine at Bethel. Remember, he saw this vision. And so now you'd think our Lord would say, you know, the woman cries out, oh, your mother was a lucky woman, you know. And he should have said, yes, I'm glad you recognize that. You know, he doesn't. He says, rather, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. That's why she's blessed. Because she kept the word. In fact, she carried me in her womb and took care of me. But she keeps me. I am the word of God. She listens to me. And so she's blessed. I invited her to be my mother. She could have said no. Good thing she didn't. And so the motif today is hearing the word of God and doing it. Well, now, how do we hear the word of God? Well, right now, just what we're doing. We're reading it. We're thinking about it. We're being blessed by it. Now, the word will dwell in us all day, and the Holy Spirit will make that word alive in us. The rest is up to us. You see? The rest is, are we going to yield to this word? Are we going to listen to this word? And be thrilled, you know? I can't remember now in what context this person said this to me, but it was very beautiful. I remember it was kind of a youngish person, and they said to me, God just talked to me. And I said, great, you know. But He wants to talk to us all the time. You see, blessed are those who hear the word of God. That's a blessing. Not everybody does. Oh, it's on the radio, it's on the TV, it's all over the place, it's in all the churches. But how many hear it? Now, we could make other people blessed today by delivering to them the word of the Lord, whatever the Lord tells you to say. And if they keep it, then they are ashrei, they're blessed. But the one who's most blessed is the Mother of God. Can you imagine the depth of the love? You know, he's dead now, Don Gajar. He was the cantor at the monastery of Solesmes in France. I don't know if you know this, but Solesmes was the place that revived Gregorian chant for the church. And it's still great, you know. And Don Gajar was over with us helping to build up our chant. And we had this, the other feast, another feast, where the, what is the gospel? The Gaudens Gaudebo, anyway, is rejoicing, I rejoice, is from Isaiah. And he said, this man was a very deep man, a mystic, really. And he said to us, these are the words that Mary sang when she realized she was immaculately conceived. Rejoicing, I rejoice in the Lord, you see. And my spirit exultated, you know, rejoices. And I realize now what he's done for me. And that movement of gratitude and joy and fierce adherence to the word, Jesus, is her life. And so we build this church so we can have a place to come and worship. And it's in honor of Mary, the Mother of God. We want the whole world to know what kind of privileges God can give away. You know, Mother of God, only one. But think of all the other privileges. Everyone in this room, think of the privileges. Baptize, know the word of God, receive the body and blood of Jesus. Have friends who are Christians to help us build up our life, and we help them. Just say nothing of the, well, we're all planning on breakfast. A lot of people in town are not. They don't have any money. And there's more and more of those people in this economic mess we're in. Do we pray for them? You see, one of the greatest characteristics of Our Lady is that she sees what has to be done. What's a good example? Everybody knows one good example, right? At the wedding party, they're running out of wine. Now, if you've never been to a Semitic wedding party, you don't realize what a disaster this can be. They go on for days. That's why they ran out of wine. Who in that whole crowd, besides the host and hostess, noticed? Our Lady noticed. And she went to Jesus and said, they have no wine. Knowing he would do something, because she knows his heart. Little town of Cana, it's about 9 miles north of Nazareth. It's still a dinky little town to this day, even though all the tourists go there and buy the wine. She noticed. And there's a big, I think the way to translate this, and I'm not all alone on this, you know, I wouldn't preach it. What is that to me, mother and woman? Kini? Woman? She shall be called woman because she was taken from man, right? You're the new Eve. I'm the new Adam. So, we have other things to do. This is the beginning of my public life. But she knew. So she turned around and said, do whatever he tells you. Which is hearkening back to the first covenant. We will do whatever the Lord tells us, you see. If you go ask, Moses goes and asks the people, I got to quit soon now. Moses goes and asks the people, are you ready for this? Anything the Lord says, we will do. That's how they got the Torah. They said, we'll do it. Well, like the rest of us, they did it and didn't do it. But they wanted it, though. They wanted it. And so, what is that? And then the response, my hour has not yet come. There's another way of translating that. I'm not the only one in the world. In fact, there's some very fine articles on it. It just the way the grammar goes, it's probably rather, has not my hour already come? Look, Mother, you and I, you are Eve, I'm Adam, and today I reveal myself and I begin to teach and march toward the cross. And this is the first miracle. And what it is, it's a symbolic promise. The law that I gave you is great. It makes you a people different than anybody else in the world because you worship one true God alone. And the Lord has, my Father has instructed you on how you should live. You are blessed beyond any people. But today, it become the promise of at the beginning is now fulfilled. You know, this is my first miracle, and I'm declaring now that the kingdom of God is among you. And so, we have this feast. Well, we have this build this big church. It's a beautiful thing. As many of you have seen it, I'm sure. It's quite a lovely place. When I lost my bearings because we started 15 minutes early. But anyway, but I'll tell you one kind of story about it, about something close to it. I had been a moderator of a program for bishops on preaching. I seem to always get involved in this. It was over. So now I'm finally free. So I said, oh, I'm in Rome. Oh, I'm going down and visit Mary Major because it's such a lovely, it's a lovely place to pray. And I heard the Father say, I would prefer you stay right here. So I said, of course. See, and that was where he showed me himself in a way. And I was so surprised. I mean, the person you can trust more than anybody is the Father. Jesus tells us that. He says, now when you pray, you don't say, sir, I'm ready to do your will, do you? You say, Abba. Father, Dad. Dad is too sentimental. Abba. You know? And we say it like Our Lady says it, you see? I remember, and I'll quit after this, I was in a grocery store in Jerusalem. And you know, I had those, where all the, kind of high. So a little kid, 4 years old, 3 years old, in the aisle, all alone. He wandered off, and now he's lost, you see. And he calls out, Abba, Abba, Ephata. Because Abba is my dad, my father, my, where are you? You got to help me. Well, he's a young man, you know, and he leans over the, he says, Anipo in baya, I'm right here, don't worry about it, you know. But as I listened to that boy, I said, that's what our Lord is talking about. Wherever you are, you call out. The Holy Spirit will teach you how to pray Abba, not just say the words, share in the divine affection that Jesus has for the Father, his Father. And so, but we owe all that, that he has hands and feet and a mouth to teach us. We owe it to Mary. Amen.